And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined this weekend by District 5 Tuolumne County Supervisor Jaron Brandon. His district covers the greater Columbia and Jamestown region. Supervisor Brandon, you know, what would you say as we've now moved into 2022, do you think will be the biggest issues facing the county this year?
I think it's still housing. It's housing, it's jobs, it's continuing to be more communicative. Every year when we've done our priorities, actually every year we did this once so far, right? So coming into the second year of doing this, my priorities match my campaign priorities because those are the existential issues that I think lead to everything else. Whether it's not having enough revenue to address adequately some of the fire equipment issues, even though we've made great strides in that, or whether that is people not wanting to show up to meetings so they don't know the programs available to them, or you know, businesses not being able to find workers to hire. I think those are the core issues. They were my priorities and they still are my priorities and nobody's convinced me otherwise. So
you mentioned housing a couple times. What are the things that the county can do to help the housing situation?
Yeah, so we're completely rewriting the ordinance section that governs it, right? We're not talking about a project by project problem. We're kind of talking about a systemic problem. I think there has been for a long history in our county a mentality to keep it small, don't grow. We're going to stop that and therefore maintain who we are. And I challenge that because the idea of halting it, right, it hasn't worked. What we've seen is a piecemeal bite taken out all around the county of this little area with a little house coming in or a new business coming in, but not the kinds maybe we want. Maybe it's a franchise taken out of pawn, you know, mom and pop shop, or maybe it's a housing subdivision that doesn't look like the area, or maybe it is a area that's not designed for that type of density and it goes higher. We're working on our Title 17 updates. That's going to be big for making it, I think, a lot more clear. Making it a lot more expedient to build, so it's less frustrating. And I hear that over and over. I think we need to look at our zoning. And if anybody out there is looking to try and rezone, you want to build housing, you want to build mixed use, bring it forward, talk to us. We need so many more places, and we need them all the way across. I think another issue has been that we've built, generally as a county, these large single-family home unit areas, these large suburbs, which is great. If you got a family and that's, you know, where you're at in life, a lot of people want an apartment, young people, seniors. I like the idea of tiny homes as an option. Some people want to have a 5-acre kind of, you know, ranch estate that's a little more rural. We need to have full options in that and not only build one type of housing here. So there's a lot, I think, that we can do, whether it's trying to streamline processes, legalize new types of innovative, you know, housing features. There's a lot of legislation, SB 910, SB 330, coming down from the state to see the applicability to our area, implement that stuff, that is easing some of these restrictions that has created the California housing crisis. So I'm hopeful about it, but, you know, it's not easy. It takes a long time to build those projects, long time to restore that trust to get people to put up millions or tens of millions of dollars in it. But I'm absolutely committed to it because if we don't solve that, you know, that is going to be biting us in the butt for a long time, as it has already.
I want to ask you, too, a little bit about fire resiliency. During this past summer, your district had some scares with the Washington fire and then the Arola fire just right before that. Thankfully, we got some precipitation coming, you know, this past couple of weeks. But, you know, I'm curious just your thoughts on what the county can do to be more fire resilient for Tuolumne County.
Yeah. Scared's not the right word. I think that's the stuff that's very hard to predict. You mentioned, you know, coming into being supervisor. It is very hard to look out the window at the county and see your district on fire. And then to be in the emergency operations center, getting those reports, trying to share the best you can. But, you know, we're not a functional element in that. We allocate money as needed, but we hire good people to run those emergencies, and they did a great job. Great job, as we saw with the Washington fire. That should have probably been much worse than it was. There's a steep slope there, and you could see where they had put the fire retardant, and it had stopped it. A fire going uphill and white ash behind it. Actually, Supervisor Goldenberg and I, because it's split between our districts, walked that entire thing. It's a sobering experience. It's very scary. And not to mention, like you said, you know, we had the Arola, we had the Washington fire. We had three other starts in that area too. Got a lot of roads, a lot of roadside starts, a lot of kind of camping areas within 1 week of that. So within 1 week, I had 5 fires all surrounding the major population areas of my district. It's definitely eye-opening. I think where the county has had huge success is in advocating for fuel reduction funds. We have the Serral project coming in and protecting some ridgelines, in particular for my district, that's been north of Columbia, which is a very strategic area, as we saw with the Arroyo fire if it crossed over, as a buffer for the wildland-urban interface to the national forest. But in other places, I think we need a fuel management ordinance. We're talking about, you know, maybe only 15% of the lands, but we have a lot of private lands, especially ones that are second homeowners. Folks just have a vacation rental up here or, you know, and they don't maintain it, you know. And it's frustrating because if you're a homeowner and you're maintaining your yard, right, you're doing everything you have to, and you had to take out some plants that you really liked. You got to go trim those trees every year, and that guy next to you doesn't live there, doesn't contribute necessarily to local economy, or maybe they do, but they just don't maintain their yard, you know, adequately. Their house puts you at risk because your house is the most flammable thing on your property, especially many of the older ones. And so I think we need something that basically states you need to have defensible space. We all are in that together. Any property where a fire could break out, as we saw right next to a highway, next to Sonora, between Sonora and Jamestown, a place we wouldn't traditionally think of as a fire start, a fire can happen anywhere. So I think that is a really great idea. Many areas have implemented that. And I hope we can take that, leverage some of the technology being proposed through business and innovation, some very cool LIDAR looking, how to do fuel reduction at a scale that's economical in private lands, and be able to think lower a risk and maybe be able to take that to the insurance commissioner's office, say, we're not talking about one property did what they need to do. We're talking about a whole community. And what are you going to do about our rates? Because obviously fire cancellations, which are on a moratorium for a year, what about after that? That's also been a longstanding issue here too.
You know, another issue as we wrap up today, you know, during this past year, COVID-19 was a big issue discussed by the Board of Supervisors at various meetings. How do you feel the county has handled the COVID pandemic?
I think the county's done a good job. You know, with the state implementing many of these orders, it's been difficult. Excuse me. It's been difficult. It's been, I think, frustrating in a lot of communities because there isn't always as much local control over how it's done. But in doing so, you know, we've got a great public health department. I work with those folks a lot. I talk to them. They're passionate about what they do. None of them joined. Well, maybe a couple of them joined. I don't know. But none of them joined to do COVID in particular. They joined to keep people healthy. So we've got really good people working on it. I think we've, you know, implemented the orders as we've needed to. We've also voiced some concern over how that's done, which, you know, there's always more room in California, I guarantee you, for more rural voices and more local input in some of these decisions. At the same point, you know, we've had a large number of fatalities. We've got a relatively low vaccination rate. I think the thing I'm most proud of is also the other side. I wish it wasn't necessary. I'm unabashedly, you know, pro-vaccination, pro-testing. You know, at the end of the day, I'm not going to walk somebody into a clinic and actually, you know, stick their arm or something, right? But those are smart options. And in trying to promote that, and more importantly, have a healthy dialogue about it, because all people are doing, it seems like everywhere, is they're just shouting at each other. And it doesn't go anywhere. And it frustrates them, and it makes them angry, and makes them hate the other side. And they can't have a normal conversation. That's really sad. And I've been very proud of Tuolumne County because as much as there are very strong disagreements here, it has been kept, I think, respectful to a good extent. People are able to function day to day. I wish we had more people that were choosing to get vaccinated. I wish we had more people that were regularly testing or just doing a little bit better than what they would normally do. But I'm happy to also take our wins and being able to say that, you know, we've kept a good environment on it. We've implemented the measures. I think public health is working very, very hard on it, especially for a tourist-driven area that has a lot of, you know, incoming kind of potential exposures and stuff too. So it's a hard job, and I think we've done the best that we can with it. And so far, I think it has saved lives.
Supervisor Brandon, we've run out of time on today's show. We thank you so much for coming in and getting us up to speed on District 5.
BJ, thank you so much. And if anybody wants to reach out, my email and my phone is online. It's 209-533-5527. And don't hesitate to give me a jingle.
We thank Supervisor Jaron Brandon for being our guest. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.